Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. Our first reading today comes from the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, the Israelites sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around to the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Please be seated. Now, if you've been following along during this season of Lent, then you know that we've been spending quite a bit of time recently with Moses and these ancient Israelites, though we've been going a little bit out of order. Last week, we spent time dwelling in the Ten Commandments, and then during our time together on Wednesday, we spent time reflecting with the words from Pastor Jen Christensen on the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, and God's faithfulness to these Israelite people in bringing them out of Egypt as promised. And this week, we get snakes. So in chronological order, what we have is a people that are being led out of Egypt. And as they are running, they get to the Red Sea, and they see no way out, with Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. But what God does is burst the waters apart and opens up a path for them to cross safely. And not only that, but God sends a storm to get rid of the danger that chases them as well. Now, sometime after this drama, we get the scene that we got last Sunday in the giving of the Ten Commandments, with the very first commandment being that they should have no other gods before the very same God that brought them out of Egypt. But Moses comes down the mountain, and what he finds is that they have built a golden calf to worship, breaking this number one rule. But, you know, these are new rules for the Israelite people. And what I've come to learn recently is that you can't always expect one to follow a rule when the first time that it is given. So there's mercy from God that says that if they return to the Lord their God, then they will be forgiven.
Unfortunately, there are about 6,000 people that wanted to test this, but we don't talk about that. Now, before some of you start thinking that I'm just reusing the same sermon as last week, let's move on to what we get for today. So after leading the people out of Egypt, after setting these boundaries with these people and being clear on the expectations and the consequences, after this showing of God's great might, the people start to once again grumble and complain because we've just been in the wilderness for too dang long, God, and there's no food or water, and the food is not tasty, but we don't have any food, but it's not tasty food. Make it make sense. They start to question God's and Moses' lack of leadership. Now, to be fair to the Israelites, it's likely none of them were expecting this journey to be 40 years long. But regardless, this turning away from God has consequences, and the people find themselves plagued by snakes. The people pray that the snakes be taken away, and in response, God, through Moses, offers healing for all who have been affected. And it's funny that we get this scripture just a week before St. Patrick's Day, because the people really could have benefited from St. Patrick driving those snakes out for them. But instead, it's implied that while those who have been bitten receive healing whenever they look at the snake that Moses lifted up, it never says that the snakes are actually driven out like they prayed. The snakes remain with them for the rest of their journey, but they are told that as often as they are bitten, as often as they need it, that there is healing to be found in God. When the people prayed for the snakes to be taken away from them, the snakes being a result of their sinfulness, God offers up a path for healing and a path for forgiveness. And I think this is something that's important for us to remember, that when we pray to God, God does indeed hear our prayers. But the response might not be exactly what we think we need. God gives us what we actually need. God didn't get rid of the snakes for the people like they asked, but instead offered them a path of recovery for all future snake bites. And now maybe if they could find the staff again, I wouldn't be so afraid of these slithery creatures. But we're left to ponder how this lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness relates to the lifting up of Jesus Christ. Now, there aren't many plagues of serpents to be found in the New Testament, save for John the Baptist calling everybody a brood of vipers. And certainly, we don't tend to have too many snake problems here in Wisconsin. So what is the importance of Jesus being lifted up in comparison to this? Well, I mentioned previously in the season of Lent that each time we hear of the cross, we also get a message of resurrection. This lifting up then is threefold in what seems to be a passion prediction in John. While the cross isn't specifically mentioned in this text, the idea of Jesus being lifted up does bring to mind Jesus being lifted up on the cross for many. But it goes beyond this because in 3 days later, we know that Jesus is lifted up once again into eternal life, from death into life. And the lifting up doesn't just stop there either, because we know that Jesus is also lifted up when it comes to the ascension and joining with the Father in heaven. What we are promised in Ephesians is that similar to Christ's lifting up, we too will be lifted up from death into life and ascended to be with our Father in heaven. Jesus Christ was the first of many to be lifted up in this way. Still, this doesn't answer the question of what takes place of the serpents in our comparison story here. While we are not plagued by snakes in the wilderness, we are plagued by something else. We're plagued by the sinfulness that all mortals in every age have been plagued with. Just as the Israelites found forgiveness when turning to God and found healing when they looked upon this serpent of bronze, we too find forgiveness for our sinfulness in the lifting up of Jesus Christ for every age. Not only has Jesus saved us from our sinful nature, but continues to offer forgiveness and healing each and every single time we come to him. We begin our service today and every Sunday with confession and forgiveness in this way, so that we hear words of absolution from Jesus Christ that says that you are saved and you are not condemned because of the love that God has for the world, the whole world, so that all may have this taste of salvation. Another way to speak of this condemnation is to speak of crisis. And it is in our crisis between that which is good and that which is evil where Jesus Christ has made the path even clearer by defeating that which is evil. God so loved the world. Through Jesus, God saved the world by defeating death and bringing us into life with the eternal. Even while we falter and continue to show our preference for evil, God has shown us a love that overtakes us to a point and points us instead towards that which is good. In a world that continues to be plagued by evil atrocities that many of us cannot even begin to understand, we're reminded of the flood of grace and mercy that is found on the cross. While we continue to be weighed down by all of this war, violence, abuses, and exploitations, we are reminded that we will be lifted up with Jesus Christ. We spend this time in Lent thinking about all of the ways that we can turn ourselves from death into life. And we are reminded that at the end of it all, on Easter Sunday, we are being risen with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While the things of this world will fade away, the love that is found in Jesus Christ will not. It cannot. For God so loved the world that while the things of this world may one day pass away, you will not, because of this love of God that is for you and for all people, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell and the Dells. Find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.